This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us in the Sciences of the Hadith class. Today, inshallah, we'll discuss the Hadith of the Ahad. Yesterday, we talked about Hadith al-Ahad from one aspect. And we said that it is divided to three categories. We have Hadith al-Aziz, Gharib, and Mashhur. From one aspect, we have three categories. Today, we will take another aspect of Hadith al-Ahad. But also, from this aspect, it will be divided to three categories. Now, it's not according to the number of narrators, it is according to the authenticity of the hadith, according to accepting or rejecting the hadith. We earlier spoke about the division of Hadith al-Ahad from the numbers aspect, the number of the narrators, transmitters. Today, inshallah, we will discuss Hadith al-Ahad from the authenticity aspect. And from that aspect, we have also three types. We have the hadith which is accepted, and we have the hadith which is rejected. So the hadith which is accepted, we have hadith sahih, and we have hadith hasan. Then we have hadith daif, which is rejected. So you could say it is two categories, accepted and rejected, or you could say three categories, sahih, hasan, and daif. Whether you say it's two or three, it is accepted. This is the division of the hadith of the Ahad from the authenticity perspective. So we will start with the accepted hadith. Today, inshallah, we'll discuss the accepted hadith, which is the hadith al-sahih and hadith al-hasan. We have two types of the hadith included in this category, the accepted hadith. Hadith sahih, authentic, sound, and we have hadith hasan, which is good. Hadith sahih, the accepted hadith, we have it defined in the book in page 139. This is the division, the definition of the hadith. It's mentioned in the book, page 139. You can check it later on. What does it say here? It says a hadith with a continuous isnad all the way back to the Prophet ﷺ, consisting of upright persons who also possess retentive memories and whose narration is not outlandish, while it is in the meantime free of both defects. That's the definition of the hadith sahih according to Dr. Kamali. It's mentioned in the book. Do not rewrite again the definition because it is in the book, page 139. This is a pretty long division, definition of this hadith. When I ask you what's the definition of the hadith sahih, it's difficult to say a hadith with the continuous isnad all the way back to the Prophet ﷺ, consisting of upright persons who also possess retentive memories and whose narration is not outlandish, while it's in the meantime free of both defects. It's long definition. That's how we define it in Arabic. مَتَّصَلَ سُنُودُهُ مَتَّصَلَ سَنَدُهُ بِالْعُدُولِ الضَّابِطِينَ مِنْ غَيْرِ شُذُوذٍ وَلَا عِلَّةٍ. Imam Suyuti defined the hadith sahih in his Alfiyah by saying حَدُّ الصَّحِيحِ مُسْنَدٌ بِوَصْلِهِ بِنَقْلِ عَدْلٍ ضَابِطٍ عَنْ مِثْلِهِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَذَّ وَلَا مُعَلَّلًا. It's 1.5 line of poetry only. This is how I try to define the hadith with less words. You could write it because the other definition is mentioned in the book. Either one is fine. The hadith with connected chain of narrators whose memorization and trustworthiness is excellent without defects or oddness, or without being outlandish and free of defects. This is the definition of hadith sahih. And from the definition, you could tell the conditions for the hadith al-sahih. Now, we mentioned when we talked about the mutawatir hadith, we said there are four conditions. Also for the sahih hadith, there are conditions. How many conditions? Now we will find out. So this is the definition of the hadith sahih, the hadith with connected chain of narrators whose memorization and trustworthiness is excellent without defects or oddness or without being outlandish and free of oddness, free of defects, hidden defects. Now we will discuss the conditions. In order for us to give the degree of sahih to any hadith, it has to have five conditions. So remember this number, five conditions. The mutawatir hadith, we said it has four conditions. Here, we have five conditions. You need to memorize these conditions. The first condition, the chain has to be linked from the beginning to the end, which means from the Prophet ﷺ to the scholar who compiled this hadith, there has to be connected chain of narrators. If the link is discontinued, then the hadith cannot be authentic. This is the first condition. The second condition, the narrators or the transmitters have to be trustworthy. They have to be trustworthy. This is the second condition. Now, did we discuss this condition in the mutawatir hadith? We don't have it, because it's impossible for them to lie. So we don't check on their background. While here, they have to be trustworthy. What do we mean by trustworthiness? It will come with us later on, but I will give you an idea now. Trustworthiness means being free of major sins and insisting on minor sins. That's the trustworthiness. You do not commit major sins and you do not insist on minor sins. That's the trustworthiness. They have to have strong memory, excellent memory. What do we mean by that? Good memorization. So if you say 10 ahadith, they can say them back without any mistake. That's the excellent memory. If you say one hadith, they will repeat it to you without any mistake. That's excellent memory. If they make mistakes, if they forget, then they don't have excellent memory, and consequently the hadith cannot be authentic. Number four, now actually let's stay with these three things. With these three conditions, actually the hadith becomes sahih. But not every sahih hadith is accepted. Maybe it's not implemented. Maybe scholars did not work according to this hadith for another reason. In order for the hadith to be accepted means sahih and worked upon, we have two extra conditions. These two extra conditions, the hadith has to be free of defects, hidden defects. What are these defects? We will talk about them later. It seems like the isnad is connected, while when you check on the chain of narrators, it's not authentic or it's not linked. There is a missing link. So the hadith has to be free of defects. And the hadith has to be free, it cannot be outlandish. It cannot be odd. What do we mean by odd? The odd hadith is the authentic hadith which contradicts another authentic hadith. This is the outlandish hadith. Now we have authentic hadith, but it was narrated only by one or two. And it contradicts what was narrated by many or by stronger authentic narrators. So which one do you accept? One man came to you and he told you, we will leave at 9 o'clock. 10 people came and they told you, we will leave at 10 o'clock. Which one do you believe, the one or the 10? The 10. That does not mean the one who told you 9, he is lying. But you believe the stronger, the more. Because it's more likely they were able to hear better than one. So that's what we mean by outlandish or oddness. And we will talk about it, inshallah, later. So these are the five conditions. Once they are available, once they are met in the hadith, then it becomes authentic. Here we have an example. And where can you find an authentic hadith? In Al-Bukhari or Muslim only. You could find it in any book of hadith. In any book of hadith. But any hadith in Al-Bukhari is authentic. So any example, you take the book of Sahih Al-Bukhari, any example in it is true. It is true. Here, I will mention one example from Sahih Al-Bukhari in the book of Adab. He said, حدثنا عبد الله بن يوسف. Abdullah bin Yusuf from Malik, from Ibn Shihab, from Muhammad ibn Jubair ibn Mut'im, from his father, yarhamukumullah, saying, I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read in Maghrib prayer with At-Tur. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited in Surah Al-Maghrib At-Tur. This is the hadith. Now, we want to apply the five conditions. How? We have Imam al-Bukhari. He said, Abdullah ibn Yusuf, حدثني Abdullah ibn Yusuf. So he heard it from Abdullah ibn Yusuf. Abdullah ibn Yusuf heard it from Imam Malik. Imam Malik heard it from Ibn Shihab. Ibn Shihab heard it from Muhammad ibn Jubair, rahimahullah. Muhammad ibn Jubair heard it from his father, who is a companion. And the companion, he heard it from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have six people between Imam al-Bukhari and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the hadith is connected. There is no missing link. So the first condition is what? It is applied. There is no missing link. Let's move to the second condition. Abdullah bin Yusuf, is he trustworthy? Is he authoritative? Yes, he is. He's one of the shuyukh of Imam al-Bukhari. And he took from many shuyukh. So he is trustworthy. What about Malik, Imam Malik? Do you know Imam Malik? What do you think of him? Of course, he's Imam. And no question about him. What about Ibn Shihab? Who's Ibn Shihab? Do you know who's Ibn Shihab? All of you know him. We mentioned him earlier in this subject. Previously, he was mentioned a couple of weeks ago. Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. Bazigha knows him. Only? Who is the first man to officially document the hadith? It seems like you're studying very well. It was Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. He died in the year 124. We mentioned him. Yes, at the time of Umar ibn al-Aziz, rahimahullah. So this is Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. He heard it from Muhammad ibn Jubair ibn Mut'im. He is a successor of a companion, and he was trustworthy also. So again, this condition is met. And he heard it from his father. Of course, the companions, what about the companions? Do we check on their trustworthiness? No. Why? No. Companions are all trustworthy. Why?
Because Allah said, radiyallahu
anhu. Exactly. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approved their character. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah is indeed pleased with the believers when they give you the pledge underneath the tree. This is in Surah Al-Fath. All the companions are trustworthy. All of them. We don't check on the companions. They are automatically accepted. We check on the people after the companions. So we have all three first conditions. They are all met. So this hadith is sahih. Now, is it accepted or rejected? Let's check the text. Jubair ibn Mut'im, radiallahu anhu, he's telling that he heard the Messenger ﷺ reading with Surah At-Tur in Al-Maghrib. The hadith is accepted. There is nothing wrong with it. It does not contradict an ayah or a hadith, other hadith. So this hadith is sahih. That's how we apply the conditions of the sahih hadith. Of course, later on we will try more and more. This is the job of the takhrij, inshallah, at the end of the semester. But this is an idea, how you try to approve each condition, and then you say this hadith is authentic. So the five conditions are met in this hadith. All the narrators heard it from each other. The link, the chain is connected. All the scholars, the narrators, they are all trustworthy. No one of them is untrustworthy. And all of them have strong memory. And this hadith is not outlandish, nor it has any hidden defects. What do we learn from this hadith? It is permissible, it is sunnah, to pray with Surah At-Tur. You can pray with any surah in the Quran. Some people nowadays, they only choose short surahs or short, like one line or two lines. Sometimes the Prophet ﷺ used to pray with entire surahs, like Surah At-Tur, two pages. Sometimes, not sometimes, one time the Prophet ﷺ prayed with Surah Al-A'raf, all Surah Al-A'raf. It may take 1 hour. He did it once. But in general, whatever you can read is permissible. So we learn from this hadith, it is sunnah to pray with Surah At-Tur in Al-Maghrib. Now, there is an important issue that I have to mention. Let's say you heard a hadith. You checked on all the conditions. And you found out the hadith is sahih. Does that mean the Prophet ﷺ definitely said this hadith? Or not?
Yes.
He definitely said it. Isn't there any possibility of an error? Here, there is an important issue. The judgment on a hadith is on what we see. The apparent aspect of the hadith. The outcome of the hadith. The outward of the hadith. Not the reality of it. It gives you 90 to 99% that the Prophet ﷺ said it. But you cannot say all the authentic hadith, 100% I'm sure, that the Prophet ﷺ said them. Why? Scholars did their best. They laid down the rulings. They explained the conditions. And they were very strict. However, if someone is truthful, he never lied. Is there a possibility that one time he may lie?
Yes.
Why? Because we are human beings. The one who has excellent memory, he memorized the entire Quran and he doesn't make any mistake. Is there any possibility that maybe one time he made a mistake? Maybe. So that's why when we say this hadith is sahih, to the best of our knowledge, to the best of our ability. Not necessarily or not 100% that the Prophet ﷺ said it. But again, that does not mean you suspect the hadith. Because you will never find more strict rules than the scholars of hadith. Nowadays, they try to make credit report and credit history. And they tell you have excellent credit. But isn't it possible that the one who has extra credit does not pay his bills? It happens. It could happen. So there is a possibility. Those people who have rules, how you get your credit, how you increase your points, the rules, it doesn't come close, even close to the rules of the scholars of hadith. How they can judge someone, how his memory is excellent, how they can approve this hadith, if it's sahih or not. That's why Imam Suyuti rahimahullah said, وَالْحُكْمُ بِالصِّحَّةِ وَالضَّعْفِ عَلَى ظَاهِرِهِ لَلْقَطْعِ. We only judge what we see. Except, they said there is an exception, the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. If you say these are hadith 100% said by the Messenger وسلم, as if you heard it directly from the Prophet وسلم, that's accepted. Why? Because the entire ummah, they said, these hadith are authentic. In general, we believe that this hadith, as long as it is authentic, then we believe that the Prophet ﷺ said it. But we cannot say with certainty. We are 90% sure. We are 95% sure. Most likely the Prophet ﷺ said it. Maybe there is one word wrong. Maybe there is a meaning. Because again, we are human beings. We may make mistakes. So this issue is important to remember once we discuss the hadith, the authentic hadith. Scholars mentioned the most reliable sahih, the best book of sahih, according to the chain of narrators. Which chain of narrator is the strongest chain of narrators? They discuss this in order for them to make things easier. Once you see this chain, the hadith is automatically sahih and strong. Some scholars considered names, chains. Others considered books. Any hadith in this book is sahih. It's stronger than any hadith in that book. And again, why did they did that? They had extensive studies about the hadith. They spent their lives studying the hadith of the Messenger ﷺ. Just like nowadays when people love sports, after every game they have like analysis, how many minutes the ball was with this team, how many fouls were made by this team, how many, all these types of analysis. The scholars of hadith did the same thing with the hadith because it was very important for them. And that made things easier for scholars and students of knowledge later on to take from this. Regarding books, they said that the most reliable, most authentic book, which book of hadith? Sahih al-Bukhari. Sahih al-Bukhari. What comes next? Sahih Muslim. Sahih Muslim. Few scholars, especially the scholars of Africa, they said Sahih Muslim is better than Sahih al-Bukhari. But majority of scholars said Sahih al-Bukhari is better. Even those who said Sahih Muslim, they said maybe the way it was sorted or the order of Sahih Muslim, that's all. But the authenticity of the ahadith, the condition for the authenticity is stronger in Sahih al-Bukhari. Then what do we have as books of authentic hadith? What do we have? Muwatta Imam Malik. Is Muwatta Imam Malik strong?
Yes.
But does it?
Well, it has opinions.
It has opinions. Does it have only authentic hadith?
Yes.
No. There are many weak hadith in Muwatta of Imam Malik. There are weak hadith in Muwatta of Imam Malik. Now this is the problem. Some people think the authentic hadith are only in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. There are many books of Sahih. Many. For instance, Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah. Ibn Khuzaymah rahimahullah, he wrote a book, all of the hadith in it is Sahih. Later on, some scholars came and they tried to verify these hadith and they found few weak hadith in it. So you could say 90% of Sahih ibn Khuzaymah is authentic. Yes. Marfu' and Muttasil hadith are supposed to be authentic. What do you mean by that? In the Muwatta? No. No, that's not true. Most of the hadith, that's true. Because again, Marfu', what do you mean by Marfu'? Marfu' means connected to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if there is one narrator who is weak, the hadith is not authentic anymore. Sahih ibn Khuzaymah All scholars agreed it's stronger than Muwatta of Imam Malik. Sahih Ibn Hibban. Imam Ibn Hibban, rahimahullah, again he wrote an authentic book, Sahih. He included only the authentic ahadith. But some scholars came later on and they found out that there are few ahadith, they are not authentic. Mustadrak al-Hakim. Mustadrak al-Imam al-Hakim. This book, Mustadrak, he meant to include the ahadith that al-Bukhari and Muslim missed. They were supposed to put them in their books, but they did not. It has also lots of authentic ahadith. These are very strong books. They have many authentic ahadith. So do not think that Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim are the only authentic books. As-Silsila al-Sahiha. This is a very recent book. The series of authentic ahadith by Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah. He meant to include only the authentic ahadith. And it's a very good book. You could say 95 to 98% of the ahadith are authentic. But he himself, rahimahullah, sometimes he excludes a hadith and he says, I thought it is authentic, but it's not. Then he adds some hadith to this book. So most of As-Silsila As-Sahiha is authentic. These are books of authentic hadith. So if you hear someone telling you, give me an authentic hadith, whether in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, if it's not there, I will not accept it. You have to tell him, to teach him, that this is not the only authentic books. Scholars in general agreed that whatever in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim is authentic. They approved all these ahadith in al-Bukhari and Muslim. And of course, inshallah, next semester, we will study only Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Next semester, all what we do, studying Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. So they agreed that Sahih al-Bukhari is more authentic. But some of them said Sahih Muslim, in its order, is better than Sahih al-Bukhari. How many ahadith are there in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim? How many?
10,000.
Yes.
6,236.
This is the number of the ayat of the Quran. Zakir, this is the number of the ayat of the Quran, not the number of the ahadith. وعدة الأول بالتحرير ألفان والربع بلا تكرير ومسلم أربعة الآلاف وفيهما التكرار جما وافي. In total, almost 15,000 ahadith. Both. Sahih al-Bukhari had 7,600 something with repeated ahadith. Without repetition, 2,500 hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Without repetition. This is approximate number. It's not exact. When we will study, inshallah, the Sahih, we'll give you the exact numbers of the Sahih. So now, when we say 15,000 hadith, does that mean these are the only authentic ahadith by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
No.
How much more? In another term, what they miss, Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, what they miss is more or less than what they wrote. What do you think?
Arshia says no.
No, what Arshia? Yes, that's true. Not all the ahadith are there. So, what did they write is more, or what did they miss is more? If you have Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, you have the majority of the authentic ahadith, or minority of the authentic ahadith? من الصحيح فوتا كثيرا وقال نجل أخر من يسيرا. What they missed is much more than what they wrote. The highest of the authentic, yes, that's true. The most authentic hadith, most of them are in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. What they missed from that part is very few. But the authentic in general, they missed a lot. So you could say easily, we have 40 to 50,000 authentic ahadith. And in general, we have almost 100,000 ahadith. We could say that most likely it was said by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, between Hassan and strong weak hadith. The weak, but it's not that weak. It could be accepted. Look what Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah said. He said, I memorize 100,000 authentic hadith and 200,000 unauthentic hadith. That's the memorization of Imam al-Bukhari. By the way, that's not the total hadith that he memorized. That's the total of the hadith that he could tell you. Because his story will come in details, inshallah, next semester. It will be exciting. Of course, when they say hadith with chain of narrators, they don't memorize the text. The text only is useless. Now it's helpful because we know the book is verified and it was approved and it was compared by other books. But at their time, hadith text without isnad is useless. The strongest ahadith. Now, what are the strongest ahadith? Sahih al-Bukhari. What if the hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim?
More
authentic. Some scholars said it starts with muttafaq alayh, both in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Others, they said no. Whatever was narrated by the six books, Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Abu Dawud. Do we have a hadith like that? Yes, we have. Few, but we have. So this is the strongest hadith, what was narrated by the jama'ah. What do we mean by jama'ah? Six books. And they give this code, Ayn. Ayn refers to jama'ah. Ma rawahu al-jama'ah. Unfortunately, in the English books, you rarely find this code, or you may not find it at all. But in the Arabic books of hadith, you'll find it, Ayn. Ayn means jama'ah. This is automatically accepted. It's the strongest hadith. Then you have agreed upon. What do you mean by agreed upon? This is another term they use it in the hadith terminology. Agreed upon by al-Bukhari and Muslim. It's narrated by al-Bukhari and Muslim. This is, again, strongest hadith. Then comes what was narrated by al-Bukhari. And then comes what was narrated by Imam Muslim. Then comes what was on the condition of Imam al-Bukhari. It meets the requirement of Imam al-Bukhari. It meets his condition. But it was not narrated in his book. It is one, again, of the high authentic hadith. Then what was on the condition of Imam Muslim. What's the condition of Imam al-Bukhari? What's the condition of Imam Muslim? What are their requirements? That's what we will find out, inshallah, next semester. Then what is authentic but narrated in other books, like Ibn Khuzaymah, Ibn Hibban, Mustadrak al-Hakim, this comes next. So do not think that the authentic hadith is on one level. There are many levels of the authentic hadith. And with this, inshallah, we will conclude our session for today. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Nabi Muhammad wa sahbihi ajma'in. Is there any question about the authentic hadith, the strongest hadith, the conditions of the hadith? One thing I like to add, actually I forgot to add it, the strongest chains of narrators. They even discussed this, the strongest chains of narrators. فَمَالِكٌ عَنْ نَافِعٍ عَنْ سَيِّدِهِ وَزِيدَ مَالِ الشَّافِعِ فَأَحْمَدِهِ They say the strongest chain is what was narrated by Malik, from Nafi', from Ibn Umar, from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever you have this chain, Malik, Nafi', Ibn Umar, it is the strongest chain. وَزِيدَ مَالِ الشَّافِعِ فَأَحْمَدِهِ. And there is a hadith was narrated by Imam al-Shafi'i from Imam Malik, from Nafi', from Ibn Umar. And Imam Ahmad came and he narrated the same hadith from Imam al-Shafi'i, from Imam Malik, from Nafi', from Ibn Umar. There is one hadith narrated by those great scholars. Three of the great imams are there in this isnad. It is the hadith of transactions. نهى عن بيع الغرر عن المزابنة. This hadith in transactions, it's one of the strongest hadith. It was narrated Imam Ahmad from Imam Shafi'i, from Imam Malik, from Nafi', from Ibn Umar, from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they listed like 10 chains of narrators as the strongest chains of narrators. This is one of them. فمالك عن نافع عن سيده وزيد مال الشافعي فأحمده وأهل بيت المصطفى جعفر عن آبائه إن عنه راوي ما وهن لأبي هريرة الزهري عن أعرج عن أبي الزناد حيث عن. So they listed like 10 chains of narrators. It is all mentioned in the books of hadith. You don't have to know them, but once you know them, it will make things easier. Once you see it, you know that this hadith is authentic. Is there any question? مستدرك الحاكم comes after Ibn Hibban and Ibn Khuzaymah. Because Al-Hakim, rahimahullah, when he wrote his book Al-Mustadrak, he wrote it as supplement to Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He thought that these ahadith meet their conditions. He was right to some extent, and he was wrong. So you could say 40% of the ahadith, actually he was wrong about them. He thought that it meets their requirement, but in reality it's not. That's why another imam came later on, Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, and he verified the judgment of al-Hakim. Many of them were verified. The majority of the hadith of the book was verified, but 40 or 30% it was disapproved. So that's why it comes underneath Ibn Hibban and Ibn Khuzaymah. Any other question? Of course, 100% certainty with the mutawatir hadith and with what was narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim together. And was what was narrated by Al-Bukhari or Muslim. You could say, if you quote any hadith from Al-Bukhari and Muslim, you could say 100% the Prophet ﷺ said it. Other than that, it's difficult. But again, that does not mean it was not said by the Prophet ﷺ. You are sure, like to 98% that it was said by the Prophet ﷺ. What's the difference between Masanid and Ma'ajim? Musnad, the order of the narrators in the Musnad is according to what? To the names. While Ma'ajim, sometimes it could be according to the countries, like Baghdad. So it is broader than Masanid. No. Al-Atraf. Does it mean missing part of the hadith or part of the chain or the whole chain? Al-Atraf means the parts of the hadith. That does not mean the hadith is missing. They just mention part of the hadith. If they mention the entire hadith, the book will become 3 times bigger or 4 times bigger. Because the purpose here is to know where you can find the hadith. They list part of the hadith and the chains. Where you can find this hadith? Who narrated this hadith? That's the meaning of atraf. Yes, there is a difference. Difference between mutawatir and muttafaq alayh. Yes, there is difference. That's what we just studied. You should not ask this question. Mutawatir was multiply narrated. At least you have 4 narrators, 4 chains of narrators. While this is not a requirement, it could be sahih in al-Bukhari, with different chain in Muslim, and both of them are authentic. So it could be 2. But both of them are accepted. That does not mean they are exactly the same.